chapter 19. When you get there, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And if you don't have a Bible, go ahead and stand up like you got one. And Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Going to start there in verse 28 of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Starting there at verse 28. And when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he had come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives.
Yes, come on, preacher.
He sent two of his disciples, saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him.
Yeah.
And when they were sent, went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the coat, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the coat?
Yeah, come on.
And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and cast their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto the Master, rebuke the disciples. Listen close to this next verse right here. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.
Yes,
you
on.
May have a seat. Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord, for your patience, Lord, your mercy, Lord, your grace. And God, we thank you, Lord, for coming to us, Lord, and allowing us, Lord, as a humble servant, Lord, to serve you and to worship you. And God, Lord, we know that you've called greater ones than I to preach. And Lord, there's preachers preaching all over the nation today. We pray that you'll anoint every one of those. And God, Lord, we pray that you'll anoint people's ears to receive your word and their hearts to be receptive of your word. Lord, that you'll help us, Lord, to cast out of our mind, Lord, what we're going to do today after service. And Lord, what we're going to do tomorrow, that help us to cast out of our mind, Lord, the plans of the work week. Lord, that we'll be able, Lord, to remember you, Lord, and what you've done. And Lord, we pray, Lord, today, Lord, as we minister, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to realize the stones, Lord, that you've moved, Lord, the stones that you've stood on, the stones that you've cried on, the ones that you've walked on. We pray that you'll help us, Lord, to remember the stones in our own life. And God, Lord, we pray that you'll anoint, Lord, every ear, Lord, to receive your word, every heart to be receptive. We pray that you'll anoint this vessel, Lord, to present your word, knowing you've already anointed your word. I'll be a mouthpiece. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to preach for a few moments of time on a very strange topic. What does the stones say?
Yeah, come on.
A few years back, and I'm not that much into pop music. It does nothing for me, just to be quite frank. But there was a song that came out that says, what does the fox say?
Yeah.
If you've not ever heard that song, don't. It's the stupidest song that's ever been recorded. And it's just stupid. It's not ungodly, it's just stupid. And my mother's maiden name is Fox. And this past week, and I was studying this, I was telling Joe this morning at sunrise service, I called my mother, and when she answered the phone, I said, what does the fox say? And she said, what? And I asked her again, and she had, what are you talking about? She's like, are you off your lily? And so my nephew was there, and she told him, and he just starts laughing, because he'd heard the song. And I had to tell my mother, and she had my nephew look it up, and she listened to it. And she told me not to call her for about a week, because she needed to recover from that song. And I know some of y'all are going to run home tonight and YouTube that, because y'all want to see what it says about what does the fox say? And trust me, it's a stupid song. But today we're going to talk about what does the stone say? And we know that Palestine here is filled with stones. And Jesus had a lot of contact with these stones during his ministry. He walked on them. He sat on them. He wept on them. He bled on them. He had many different contacts with the stones. And today, if there's going to be stones in your life that you're going to come in contact with, sometimes there's stones that's in your way keeping you from getting where you need to be. And sometimes all we have to do is to walk on those stones, sleep on the stones, weep on the stones, and bleed on the stones. We've got to make sure that nothing gets between us and God. And today we're going to talk about the difference of the different types of stones and the way that we can use the stones that become in contact in life to build ourselves closer to Christ. Do your head like his. That's what we're going to do. All right. We're going to look at this for a few minutes. The first thing we want to look at is the stones on the Mount of Temptation. The stones on the Mount of Temptation. They talk about Jesus' sinless nature. There in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That talks about his sinless nature. That even when Jesus was facing the enemy, when Jesus was facing that stone in his life, he did not give in to temptation. Church, I'm telling you, just because the devil throws something at you, you do not have to see it.
That's right. Come on, preacher. Come on.
The sinless nature is there for Jesus, and it's there for you. You don't have to walk in sin every day of your life. I'm tired of people claiming defeat, saying, "I've got a sin. I've got a sin." You're not just a sinner if you're a born-again child of God. You're an heir to the throne, and you can walk in glory.
Amen. Come on, Jay. Come on. Good say.
It's exciting to know that Jesus had a sinless nature, and we can too. Those rocks talked about when the devil said, "Turn those stones into bread." He said, "I'm not going to bow to you, Satan. I don't need to do that to prove who I am." When the devil throws things at you, you can honestly say, "Devil, I don't have to give it to you just to prove that I'm still a child of God."
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Woo! I tell you what, whoever invented bow ties ought to be hung by.
Yeah.
I will never wear another one. If I can figure out how to get this one off. There we go. Whew, that thing's tight. That stone of temptation that came and Jesus said, "I'm not going to give in." We do not have people are giving in to sin too much that it becomes a lifestyle.
Yes, come on. Amen.
Whew. And the first thing they want to do, they want to blame somebody else for their lifestyle. They want to blame somebody else for creating that temptation in front of them. You've got victory. If you're a child of God, you've got victory over temptation.
Amen. Amen. Come on, preacher.
Life is what it is. And life is what you make it. If you're living in sin, it's because you choose sin.
Amen.
If you give it in to temptation, that's because you're weak.
Yeah. Yes, come on, buddy.
And the Bible says that in our weakness, He makes us strong. In your weakness, you can become an overcomer. You can be a victor instead of a victim. You can be what God wants you to be. Just don't give in to the stones of temptation.
Right, come on.
Who wants some good stuff?
Yes, it is, brother.
When innocent blood was shed on Calvary, sin and Satan were forever defeated. I've said it numerous times here. Satan was defeated at Calvary.
Yes, he was, brother. That's right.
Your problem, if you're facing sin, is not the devil. Your problem is you.
That's right, preacher. Come on.
That might be harsh, but your problem is you. The devil, Jesus started defeating Satan. You just got to defeat yourself.
That's right.
You've got to let go of that sinful nature that you've been creating. And you've got to say, "God, I don't want any more of Satan. I want more of you."
Yes, come on, Jim.
We can be an overcomer. We can be a victor instead of a victim. We can, don't have to give in to the wrong, to the stones of temptation. Woo! Good preaching, Jason. Thank you. In John chapter 2, verse 6.
Bless you, brother.
verse 6 of John chapter 2 says, talks about the stones at the marriage of Cana. John chapter 6, verse 6 says, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone, and after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. In this story, it goes on to tell how there was a marriage going on and there was no wine. And Jesus said, fill them things with water and bring them to me. And he turned that water into wine. That right there talks about the stones at the marriage of Cana, talks about his provision and how he makes a way. You see right there, if you God will take the problems that you have in your life, he will turn it around and you'll be able to see glory in the situation that you're in. Right. God is there for provisions in your life, and you don't have to continue where you're at.
Amen.
Come on, he's given you all the stones you need to walk on. He can turn your water into wine. He can turn your frown into a smile. He can turn your mess into victory. He can do that because he's still God.
Yeah, amen. Come on, Jay. Come on, buddy.
Amen.
Woo! This is fun. It's good to know that the problems that we face and the stones that we face in life, we can still be overcomers. And his provision has never failed. I can tell you story after story after story of people that don't have any money, but they come to God and God can make them bills be paid. God can fix a car. God can fix your health. He'll make provisions if you'll just come to him. He can't fix something you don't bring to him.
That's right. Come on, Jay.
I told you before that my dad runs a small engine shop. And he hates it when somebody comes in and brings a chainsaw in the box. Because that means they've already tried to fix it themselves. And he'll say, sometimes he says, I can't fix it. If you'd have brought it to me when you first had a problem, I could have fixed it. But you try to work it your own self.
Right, come
on. Aren't you glad that's not God?
Yes.
Even if we can try to fix our own problems, we can still come to God. And God can still fix it. He can still make provisions in your life, even when you've made such a mess of it. The provisions can be made. Here Jesus made provisions for the marriage. They were out of wine. Jesus said, I can fix that problem. He's here to tell you right now, whatever problems you're facing, he can fix it.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Jay.
Ooh, some of y'all looking at it like a new sound, looking at a brand new gate. But I'm here to tell you, he can make provisions, church. And it's exciting to know that I don't have to rely on myself to make any provisions. Because, see, I make a bigger mess. I go out and try to fix my problems, I have more problems.
That's right. Come on, Jay.
Just like in people. And I don't drink, thank you, Jesus. But there are them people that they'll go to the beer. They'll go to their wine. They'll go to their alcohol. They'll go to their drugs. I need relief from my problems. And they'll do all that. And they feel better for a few hours.
Yes, come on.
Then they sober up. That problems are still there. You know what? There's more problems.
That's right. Come on.
I used to drink. I think my problems was gone for a while.
Yeah.
Till I sobered up and realized all the money I had, I still drink it. Now I got more problems.
Yes, come on.
Now I forgot where to park my car.
Yeah.
Don't know how to get home. Don't know where the car keys are. Can't get in the house. I got more problems. If you just come to Jesus, you won't need nothing but him.
Amen.
And that's exciting.
Come on, Jay. Come on, Jay.
He'll make provisions.
Yes, he will.
Woo! That wasn't even in my notes. Good stuff. Woo! He is still Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it.
Yeah.
He's all you need. That's it. You may think I'm crazy. That's fine.
Yes, that's all right, brother.
You can call me a nut. I'm screwed on the right boat. The world don't understand me. And I don't care.
That's right, preacher.
Mm-hmm. But if you've ever been to Calvary,
yes, thank God,
then you'll experience that craziness too. We've all been crazy together.
That's right, brother. You said it for you.
I'd much rather be with a bunch of crazy Christians than a bunch of right brain sinners.
Yes,
come on. if I can't have fun. Don't tell me I can't have fun.
Amen.
You're having fun now, brother.
I'm having them all.
Oh, yes, you are.
We wrote this tape a few weeks back. I had them all. I think I had more fun than the kids did. And that's when we know that these stones that we come in contact with, we can use for the glory of God.
Yes.
The third stone we want to look at, I like this one, was in John chapter 4. John yes. chapter 4,
yes.
verse 6. The stones in Jacob's well.
Yes.
Verse 6 of John 4 says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. The story goes on to talk about a Samaritan woman that was thirsty.
Yes,
and she went to draw some water out of the well. She didn't know Jesus was there. Probably, had she known Jesus was there, she wouldn't have went. She'd have waited till he left.
Yes, come on.
You know, sometimes we come in contact with Jesus in the strangest places.
Yeah.
I've seen people get a hold of Jesus at Walmart. They went there to give them a sack of flour and leave saved.
That's all right, preacher.
I've seen them get Jesus at Burger King. Go there to get a Whopper, not more than a Whopper.
That's all right, Jay.
I've seen it. This woman goes to the well. She's thirsty. She went there and draws out from the well. Jesus sitting there, probably just fiddling his thumbs. He just relaxed. All of a sudden, he says, you don't need that. I got what you need. Could you imagine?
Yeah, come
this
on.
This woman said, you got what? She probably said, we got some lunatic sitting here on the well. I come. You got some extra cold water over there or something? But she knew. Once Jesus started telling her all that,
yeah.
She knew it. She needed it. That water would make her thirst no more.
That's right, buddy. Come on.
I like what Charlie said one time. She let your pot get the well home with
her. Amen. Amen. Amen.
She said, I don't have to draw my own water. I got a hold of the main spout. I got under the spout where the glory comes out. I got the answer to my problems. And she couldn't keep her mouth shut.
Hey, that's right, brother.
She's been riding back to Samaria. She said, you got to come see this man. He has fixed my problems.
Yes, she did.
He told me all about me. This man is a true deal. I can get, you can get whatever you need. You got to come see this man.
Amen.
It's exciting.
Yep.
She was excited. And Jason, when you get saved, you can't keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
You got to go tell somebody.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to think you're crazy.
Yeah,
I'm crazy. Go ahead and tell them you're crazy. Pastor Jason said, you're crazy. I don't care that they call me crazy. I don't care. I'm crazy for Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Crazy for Jesus and for his musketeers. Love them. It's exciting to know that the stones at Jacob's well, he set on it and he made the woman whole. He fixed that woman's problem by sitting on a well, waiting for her. The story right before that in the scriptures, we find out that Jesus is not supposed to go to Samaria.
That's right.
As a Jew, he was not supposed to be anywhere around Samaritans. But he said, I've got to go to Samaria.
That's right.
I need to go to Samaria. You know why he said that? Because of the woman there thirsty. Sometimes we have to go where we don't want to go. Why? Because God's got a plan for us.
Yes.
He wants us to use the stones to make the situation better.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
What's some good stuff? Some of y'all get this later. Oh, good stuff.
That's all right, Jerry.
He picked the worst one in town to demonstrate his purpose. Well, this woman was not your regular woman. The Bible calls her a harlot. She was a woman that had a bunch of different husbands, and the one she was living with wasn't her husband. She was a man.
Yes.
She said she had five husbands, and the one she was with now was her husband. Somebody been married five times needs a brain check.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you what, my brother's been married three times.
Yeah.
Bless his heart. But let me tell